All right, we're going to continue in the book of Mark. Surprise, surprise. We are trucking through. We're going to close out chapter 10 today. So that leaves like four more chapters. We're doing it. We're going to get through. Like I said, we're going to take a break in September. But we're going to then probably finish this out right before our Christmas series. So anyway. Oh, I know you guys have. You guys have to have done this. Okay, did you ever daydream about who would play you in a movie about your life? Get out, come on. Really, no? You never thought if somebody was making a movie about you, who would play you in that movie? Nobody ever daydreamed about that, nobody. I'm the only person. Well, thankfully there are a couple apps out there that will say who should play you in your own movie, and I chose a couple people, you guys are all scared, about who will play who in the movie of Faith Alliance Church. Okay, you ready? So here we go. By the way, I'll go first. Okay, who's playing Pastor? This was like super humbling and disturbing at the same time. I was not happy with this one. Cause I mean, like, Ian Hart's gonna play me like in a movie, by the way. Like, anybody see the first Harry Potter? He was like the professor who was like the evil professor or whatever. Yeah, he had the turban on. Yeah, that's him. That's me in the movie, by the way. That's like super depressing. I don't like that one. So yeah, Ian Hart's playing your pastor, by the way. Jason Trago, right? Who's he's not here. This is so good. He got a good one, man. He got a good one. Why am I losing? Oh my gosh, who is this guy? I just blanked it. Anthony Garcia from, he was in Ocean's 11. So I'm pretty sure he was Ocean, or Casino. He was in one of those movies, right? Anthony Garcia, not bad, like pretty dapper, right? Just put like a goatee in that guy. I think I'll see it work. But most of these are like 30% like matches. There was no like 100% matches, so. Ken Baker. This is a good one, by the way. This is a good one. John Goodman's going to play Ken, right? Right? look at all the heads. Mm-hmm. Right? I can see it, right? John Goodman? Good. I don't know if this one was crazy. So Chris Phillips, right? Ralph Fiennes is going to play Chris Phillips in a movie. I can see it. I see it. All right, this is, look at this. Tabitha, right? Who's going to play Tabitha? Oh, listen, Candace Cameron Bure going to play Tabby, right? I was like, all right, make that a full house. That's fantastic, right? What was the other one was how rude, right? That was the other one. Anyway, you've never thought about who you would cast as you in a movie? No, you guys, okay, you know what? This shows what I'm...
Why didn't you vote Larry Hurley
never show up? Because, well... I have my own Three Stooges, but I won't name them today. Oh, man. Listen, we all want to be the star of our own show, right? And like, when the reality is like, we all kind of, like, when we think about our own lives, we kind of want to be, like, the top dog, right? That's why, like, the whole Karen movement is, like, a big thing. She walks in the store, she owns the place, like, kind of thing. Like, she's such a Karen, right? No offense, Karen. Oh, my gosh. By the way, Karen, you're not a Karen, by the way. Far from it. But anyway, you're a good Karen. So we hear this all the time, like, because we in our own minds, we kind of want to be the star of our own show. And so today, we're looking at two individuals that came to Jesus, and they were like, hey, we want to be, like, the top dog. So if you have your Bible with you, turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to be starting in verse 35. And we're going to be heading all the way to the end of the chapter. I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit. There are three sections. Jesus is going to predict his death for the last time. We're going to see the request of James and John. And then we're going to see the blind man outside of Jericho. So we're going to head through this, and we're going to kind of work through this strategically. So if you have it, we're going to be starting in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. We'll talk about that in just a little moment. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup that I am baptized with the cup? Can you drink the cup or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These are places, these places belong to those to whom they've been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who regard as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them with their high officials and exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So we have this request of James and John, and they come to Jesus. And by the way, if you know from the Matthew account, there was one more person involved with this. Does anybody know? Mark leaves out probably the worst part of the story, and that is Matthew records that their mom actually went up to Jesus and asked for them. If you read Matthew, like mom has to be like, hey, like, can you imagine, like, the two brothers, hey, why don't you ask him? No, why don't you ask him? And the mom's like, I'm going to go ask him. Like, it's just like, oh my gosh, mom, like, are you serious, mom? Right? Like, it was just a really weird kind of request that was kind of going on. And Mark kind of gives them a little bit more respect, I guess, a little bit than Matthew does. But he says their request was, we want to sit at your right and at your left in glory. Let me and my brother be your top dogs, right? We want to be the star of the show. Like, hey, nobody has asked Jesus who's going to be the top dog. Why don't we go and, like, talk to him? Like, be like, hey, dude, we want to be number one, right? Right? I kind of love that Jesus doesn't get annoyed when they come up to them and they're like, hey, Jesus, we want you to do whatever we want. And Jesus doesn't be like, he's like, excuse me? He doesn't get indignant. Remember, Jesus got indignant when they were hindering the children from coming to him. That's when he got irked. But they come to him, and they're kind of almost forceful. I think because Jesus says, you really don't know what you're asking. Like, you have no idea. And just keep that in mind, because sometimes we can come to Jesus with all these selfish requests, and there's, like, Jesus doesn't come there looking down upon you. In fact, there's a heart of compassion there. In fact, he says, go ahead. What is it that you, what can I do for you? And they're like, hey, we want to be number one. And he's like, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Because he says, you really don't know what you're asking. Like, you really don't really understand what you really want. To be number one, you want to be, like, top dog. Is that really what I'm hearing? Is that the question you're really asking? Because Jesus is going to say, if you really want to be number one, I'll be more than happy to show you what that looks like. But unfortunately, you're probably not going to like it. And so to be number one, right? We do this a lot, right? We come to Jesus with all these kind of, like, we want to be the star of whatever's going on. Lord, make my life as easy as possible. Make my life as pain-free as possible. Hey, change the outcome or whatever it is that, or hey, I need this to happen in my life today. I love the fact that Jesus doesn't, like, get out of here. I'll be more than happy to listen. But the question is, sometimes Jesus is like, you really don't know what you're asking. Because you're asking for me to make it all about you. When in fact, it's life is really about others. You see, they were like, Jesus, we want to be the top dogs. And Jesus is going to say, well, if you want to be number one, you really have to be a servant of all. You want to be number one? It's about service. But unfortunately, we don't do that. Matthew, are you back there? Do me a favor, can you turn up my computer just a little bit? Because there's a sound portion to the next part. So the problem is unfortunately, we make this about us so often. When in reality, like, Jesus knows what he's doing. Jesus is like, hey, in fact, like, no, your life isn't about you, it's about others, and what I want to do through you to help others. If you're going to be a servant, and we're going to talk about James and John, they're going to live a life that is not going to look like what they wanted. Hey, we want to be number one. And if you know the life that it turned out for them, it's not going to be what they asked for. But it's so often, you know, in our prayers and our self-dialogue, our little movie that's playing through our head, right? We want to be the star of the show, right? We want to be number one. We want it to be awesome, like top billing, right? I want to be the star. And I found the perfect worship album for these types of people, right? I want you to share it. Matthew, go ahead. You can order this, by the way. This is great. Go ahead, play this. Play. Turn it up.
It is all about you. Now the greatest collection of me worship ever assembled on one CD. It's all 20 songs, all about you. This amazing collection is great to share with friends if you have any. Everyone can join in the worship with you, for you, and about you. Because you are unique, and you love you.
It's almost like heretical, right? Like,
all this for only $19.95. Operators are standing by to serve you.
All right, that's enough of that. We're good. Go, hit me with my question, Mark Mathen. Hit me with a question. Like, what do we need to know? Like, what do we need to do? Like, because guess what? That's not, I don't know if you know this or not, but that's not the way we do things, just so you know. Like, James and John are like, dude, make it about me. Like, hey, we want to come. We want to be like your right hand, your left hand in the kingdom. We want to be like your top dogs. Make it about us. And the other ones are like, you want to talk about Full House. The other ones are like, how rude, right? Like, they're the ones like, how dare you, right? So, like, what do we need to know? Like, if this was the movie of our, by the way, I'm doing this whole, like, cinema thing today, so just be prepared. That's, like, our theme. If this was, like, a movie set, where would you land, right? Well, here's what I need to know. Go ahead. Right? Go ahead. We're the least on the set. I don't know if you know that or not. Like, we are the least of everybody. If this was a movie of your life, the way that Jesus wants this to be is that you are the least of all, elevating others above yourself. Look, this is what he said. Not so with you. By the way, that you is not just at James and John. That's directed to every single person, including me, in this room. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Right? Look what he says. Whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Right? Go ahead, Mavin. We skipped an entire section. We missed an entire section that I didn't go over because I want us to take a look at this now. We're going to go back just to the prior section in verse 32. They were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and all the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Is that crazy? They knew there was some trouble, turmoil, kind of ramping up a little bit. The waves were getting rocky on their way to Jerusalem. He took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise." Hey, guys, that's really what's going to happen here. Go ahead, highlight that for me. Kill him. Spit on him, mock him, flog him. That is really what's in store for the greatest of these. Right? Go ahead, Nathan. Like, they didn't know what they were asking. Like, we're the least of all. Go ahead. Look at this. Like, this is what he says. So, I'm sorry to tell you this about your own life, but you're not the star. In fact, if you were looking at the credits of your life, right? You would probably be like one of these guys. Do you ever watch the credits of a movie? And you, like, there are people like, what in the world is a best boy or a key grip? Like, I have no idea what they do on a set. But guess what? That's you. Like, you know, there's some guy probably like watching the end of the credits that you guys have totally checked out on, right? And he's like, oh my gosh, there's me. Like it goes up so fast. Like, oh my gosh, that was me. Like, that's you in the scheme of life. That's where Jesus wants us to be. to elevate others above ourselves and to make our lives not about us, but about him. So guess what? Top billing belongs to Jesus. Like, he is the star. Like, if the marquee, like the story of Chris Phillips or whoever it might be, right? The key billing would not be you or whoever is on the story of whatever Hallmark movie you're watching here at Faith Alliance Church. Jesus is the top billing. And so we need to understand that. We are the least. Go ahead. Go back to that verse. Whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. And so if we're looking for greatness this morning, James and John, they're like, we want to be great. And Jesus is like, you have no idea what you're asking. Because if you want to be great, you want to be great, right? Okay, let's talk about what that means. Because it means you're going to have to serve those around you and going to have to experience some things that may not be pleasant. So let's pause for a moment and pray, because the reality is maybe this morning we realize we've gotten ourselves in some hot water. Maybe in relationships, maybe in our life, maybe in the how we do business. I don't know. When we've made things about us. And Jesus says there's a so much greater way if we just make it about others. And so today's the day where we have to take a couple steps back. Because if you think you're the main star, the reality is you're probably just the guy holding the boom mic. That's the truth. But though, if we find ourselves in that position, those are the people that get elevated for those who serve others. But the greatness isn't here. It's in the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, today's the day where we're going to have to upset some things. Lord, today's not a day where we have an opportunity to make this life about ourselves. This isn't even about letting people walk all over us. That's not what this is about. Today's a day where if we seek greatness, if we seek to be number one in our own eyes, in our own lives, we have to begin to take a little bit of a back seat to that. And see that you have a greater plan, that as humility and servitude are the ways on which we actually earn favor in the kingdom. And so lead us today in this truth. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the first thing I need to tell you is that greatness is really kind of a touchy subject. If you really want greatness for your life, we have to understand some things. And so back to this verse here, Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit in my right and my left is not for me to grant. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about James and John a little bit. So I can only imagine what was going on between these two guys and like mom's like in there. The fact that John did not include this story in his gospel kind of tells a lot about how he thought about this years later. Like Mark's like, oh, this is good stuff. Oh, and then mom came in. Oh, this is so awesome, right? Like, the fact that John was like, all right, let's talk about on our journey to Jerusalem. Hey, remember that part where we're gonna skip over that part, right? John didn't want anybody to know this. But in fact, Jesus did tell them, hey, you are actually going to experience, there's this like prophetic nature among Jesus. Because he tells James and John, oh, by the way, you will drink the cup that I drink from, and you will be baptized with my baptism. What does that mean? James and John, we get an opportunity to know what they endured well after Jesus' his death, resurrection, and ascension. We kind of know what happened to them. James, so a simple fisherman, right? Their dad was owned the fishing business. They worked the business. They left the nets, and they followed Jesus. They were on top of the mountain when Jesus arose into heaven, Acts chapter 1. And then we find out what happens to James. Anybody know what happens to James? It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. He was beheaded. Hey, Jesus, we want to sit in your right and your left hand. He's like, well, you have no idea what you're asking. Because you're actually going to be the first one of us that actually dies, James. John? I, from Revelation chapter 1, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and the patient endurance of our in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John, later in life, they say that John was actually boiled in oil and survived that miraculously, and then he was exiled to the island of Patmos, which, by the way, is gorgeous, by the way. If you ever get a chance to visit Patmos, it's actually like stunning. But I imagine that it wasn't a vacation for John. According to church history, he endured quite a bit until he got to Patmos. He was persecuted because of his faith. Notice he says there, he's there because of the word of Jesus. So whatever John endured, I don't think this was a vacation. So he's there because of the word of Jesus, and now he pens the book of Revelation and his gospel as he writes later in life. In fact, I think Jesus was right. They didn't have anything in mind what was really going to happen. Jesus, we want to sit to your right and your left hand because we want to be great in the kingdom. You have no idea what you're asking. Because greatness in the kingdom does not equal easy peasy life. Greatness in the kingdom equals servitude. Right? In reality, when Jesus was in his moment, the grandest moment of Jesus' life, at his right and his left were who? Who? Criminals. Criminals! Like, guys, they stole something. Whatever they stole was worthy of death, by the way. So I don't know what they stole, but when they're on the cross, right, Jesus is there. Like, the God of the universe is on the cross, right, the center cross. And those on his right and his left were destined to, they were criminals, that probably people we wouldn't even hang out with. Right? They're a little too shady. Right? They were going to be executed. They were executed. He goes, guys, to sit on my right and my left hand, you don't even know what you're asking about. Because in the moment, those who are to the right and left of me reflect my heart. Those were the ones who Jesus wanted next to him. Those are the ones that Jesus was drawing close. And if you remember, according to Luke 23, right? At one point, the one criminal was throwing insults at Jesus. He was like, save yourself! Come on, Jesus, get off the cross! Right? And the other one says, don't you believe in God? We have done everything to deserve what we've done, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he looks at him and says, hey, just remember me. And Jesus looks back and says, hey, today you will be in paradise. Probably one of the most powerful moments of the Gospel of Luke. A simple man destined to death in his final moments just says, Lord, just remember me. Greatness is a touchy subject. To be great in the kingdom, right? Jesus thought that, listen, I believe that the cross is a picture of everything that Jesus molded it out to be. And the fact that a criminal destined to death was there alongside Jesus was fitting to his power, fitting to his person, fitting to his cause, and shows us the redeeming power of knowing Jesus. Greatness. It does not reflect our values. It reflects his. So just think about this. The next time that we want to be a star in our own movie, the next time that we want top billing, remember, top billing does not reflect our values, like I should be number one. Top billing reflects Jesus' values, that I've put everyone above myself. I've made my life as a servant towards others, that I've given of my heart and my finances, whatever it is, to make this life about others. This is what Jesus came to do. That's number one. So if you want, by the way, if you want greatness, that's awesome. But it's a little bit of a touchy subject. That's number one. Number two, leaving a mark. There are at least three movies that have affected our culture. And by the way, some of you may understand, some of you may not. I'm curious to see what you guys think. These movies have affected the way we live in real life. Are you ready? Jaws in 1975. What happened in 1975? Anybody remember what happened in 1975? I don't remember what happened in 1975. Some of you may remember what happened in 1975. Beach attendance. Whoop! Dipped in 1975 because of Jaws. Nobody wanted to go in the water. It's the truth. I asked a couple people. I'm like, hey, do you remember? He goes, dude, there was nobody on the beach. He goes, they went to the movie and they stayed away from the ocean. That's what happened, right? E.T. in 1982. M&M's was supposed to be in the movie, but M&M's said, nah, we don't want to be in the movie. So what? It got to what? Reese's Pieces. And all of a sudden, Reese's Pieces explode, right? All of a sudden, everybody's buying Reese's Pieces because they're in the movie, E.T., right? Crazy to think about this. And next thing you know, Hershey's is like, whoop, like skyrocket, all right? They say in 1942, hunting licenses dipped because of Bambi. That's what they said. That's what they said, that people went out and did not want to buy hunting licenses because they were so impacted by the movie Bambi, right? Like, there are movies, and the list probably goes on, that there are probably movies that affected you in some way or another. These are just some silly examples, right? That there are movies that have left a mark on culture, that they've moved. By the way, did you know, in 1933, people ran out of the movie theater because they thought King Kong was real. By the way, like that stop-motion King Kong. Listen, it's a real thing. Look it up, right? Look, War of the Worlds, right? The town in New Jersey, people went bonkers because they thought really Martians were really landing. Look that one up. That one's hilarious. But, like, if you look at this, Jesus says, whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. And then if you go down to the next section, they're going to be, as they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples came together with a large crowd and were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Right? Everybody in the crowd was like, "Shut up. Just be quiet. He doesn't want anything to do with you." Right? Everybody else saw a poor blind man. But Jesus saw something more. Jesus wanted to leave. He's leaving Jericho. He's on his way to the cross. And he wants to leave with him an impression of who he is. And here's a blind man that everybody just didn't want to deal with. Nobody wanted to care for this man, but yet Jesus wanted something different for this man's life. We have been given the very breath in our lungs for a reason today. I don't know if you know this or not, but you had very little to do with manufacturing the very air that's in your lungs right now. In fact, you had this much to do with it today. The very fact that you opened your eyes and you have the correct amount of oxygen in order to breathe this morning is a gift from God, and he intends for you to use it for the glory of his kingdom, to leave an impression on this world so that we can allow Jesus to keep going, that we can allow people to experience. Here was a blind man, and all he knew was people being like, "Shut up!" But Jesus says, "No, I want you to see. I want to leave my..." In fact, it says that he got up and started following him. Boom. We are called to leave an impression on this world. Like Jaws did, like E.T. did, maybe Bambi. I'm not really sure about that one, but whatever. You are called to leave an impression of the people around you. And how are we leaving a mark this morning? How are we allowing people to see Jesus? So number one, if you want to be great, it's a little touchy. Number two, we are called to leave a mark this morning. So the next time you're there, I'm like, "Dude, did you see this awesome movie? Oh my gosh. I didn't want to go to bed that tonight, right? It was so scary." We're called to leave an impression on those around us for Jesus. That's number two. Number three, we're going to close this sermon. Some of you are saying thank you. All right. When something is good, we tell others about it. It's true. You guys know what a sleeper hit is? What's a sleeper? Anybody can tell what's a sleeper hit?
It's not a blockbuster.
Okay. So it's not like it didn't break the lines in the movie theater. But somehow, more than likely, when it got released like home, people started watching it, and it was more popular outside the theaters than it was inside the theater. There was one movie that I know that was like the biggest sleeper hit. Some of you are going to think that some of you probably thought it was the dumbest movie ever. And it was a flop at the box office. But it was absolutely hilarious. And it made so much money after the fact. Napoleon Dynamite. Napoleon Dynamite. This, if you, people saw, they're like, that is the stupid, and I'd be like, dude, you gotta watch it twice. I'm like, I am not watching that stupid movie twice. I watched it for the second time. It was hilarious. I don't know what it was. Like, it was just so, hey man, what's up with the tots? just like hilarious, right? It's a sleeper hit. You know why it got popular? Because people started telling other people about it. Like, it, people, nobody went to the movie to see it, but when it came home, people were like, oh my gosh, you gotta see this stupid movie about the steak hitting the guy in the face. Like, it is the stupidest thing ever, right? But people started telling each other about it. It's only good because of word of mouth, and we do this all the time with books and media. Like, oh my gosh, you gotta read this. Oh my God, we do this with food. Like, oh my gosh, you gotta try this restaurant. It is off the chain, right? We do this, a word of mouth, it just goes and goes and goes, right? But look, here we are, the blind man here. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling to you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you, Jesus asked him. By the way, that's the second time he asked that question. Notice, second time. They wanted greatness, he wanted to see. Jesus asked both these people the same question. What do you want me to do for you? When you come to Jesus in prayer, this is the question that Jesus asks of you. What is it that you want me to do for you? Tell Jesus what you want him to do for you. Sometimes his answers are yes. Sometimes his answers are you don't really know what you're asking. Let's continue. Go, the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, he said, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road, right? I love this. Like, he's like, oh my, who is this guy? He's Jesus. Oh my gosh, this is awesome. Like, he starts like, go. Next thing you know, here was a man who was just sitting there. Now he's following along, telling other people about Jesus. How many of us were there in that one time? We had no idea who Jesus was. Somebody told us about Jesus, and now we know and we follow him. When something is good, we tell other people. Why keep this to ourselves? Why? It's not a secret. It's not. We're not a secret society. We're not a secret club. There's no membership fees to get in here. My desire is that we as a church affect our community so much that we see families changed. We see brokenness. We see drug addiction removed. We see healing take place. We see broken homes restored. We see orphans and single moms having a like, oh my gosh, if you guys weren't in my life, I don't know what I'd do. This is what I dream. And I can't do it alone. We do this because of our love for Jesus, because we made him the star of our show, and we're like, dude, he is so awesome. I got to tell you about him. Oh my gosh. And so, all this to say, who is starring in the movie of your life? So, when the title comes up, right? Dun, 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 and it's like, Matt York, right? Starring Jesus. like that's the way it should be. Top billing. Like, remember they used to show the credits at the beginning of the movie? Like, back in, like the 40s and stuff. It'd be like, John Wayne and the Searchers, right? Like, the first name that comes up should be the Lord. Because he has done everything for us. He's done everything for you. And like I said, the very breath in our lungs today is a gift that we are called and to leave an impression on this world. Because we want him to be great and not ourselves, because he's worthy of it. And so this morning, I want you to share my dream of seeing our community change. I want you to share my desire to make Jesus the front and center of your life. I want you to join me in making this church the best place possible for people to come and experience that goodness. Let's go together. Because when you walk in these doors, I don't want anybody to be lifted up other than Jesus. Because he is worthy of it all. He's done it all. And the cross proves that he thought you were great enough to die for you. And that means our lives are indebted to him for all of eternity. Let's pray. Lord, lead us today to go forth from this moment and to make our lives about one single principle,
you. Lord, I pray that we would no longer desire to make this life about anything that we want. While it's great that Jesus asks us, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, everything is cast in a way that puts you at the forefront because you are worthy of it. And so, Lord, lead us today. Lead us today as people who are being sent, allowing that top billing spot to be yours. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.